This morning I want to look at the second half of Mark chapter 5 and a message I've entitled A Touch of Faith. And the second half here, verses 21 through the end of the chapter, are kind of two stories of faith that intersect. Two different encounters with Jesus from individuals that lived out of faith in some different ways. And I want us to get an overview of that. And so I'm going to begin simply reading that text, Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." And so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet, instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher any longer?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." And he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all of this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. And after he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. And at this time they were completely astonished. And he gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Would you pause and pray with me? Father, as we consider your word this morning, may your Spirit help us to examine our faith. May we learn from these examples, from the activity of Jesus, from the faith of those that encountered him. And may we live life differently because we live knowing the faith that Jesus has promised. As the author and perfecter of our faith, may we trust in him to help our faith grow. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Amen.
As I look at this, I consider what Scripture teaches that the size of a person's faith rarely has as much to do with the outcome as the object of their faith. And when our faith, the object of our faith is God, when we put our faith in Jesus, it's incredible what a simple touch of faith can do in our life. And as we look at this text, we see two different individuals that encounter Jesus with some measure of faith. We see Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who comes to Jesus expecting and wanting help for his daughter. And we see an unnamed woman who simply encountered Jesus, believing that he could help her in her need. As I've talked about at different times, when I talk about faith, when I talk about the healing that Jesus did as he ministered on earth, there was always a reason. Something greater than what we typically might think of. Because none of these people, none of the individuals in Scripture, whether it was Jairus' daughter, whether it was this woman in this story, are still living today on earth. The healing that they experienced, the gift that God had given them was in order to glorify Jesus. And eventually they would die and their faith would be what was left. But what does it look like for you and I to live with this touch of faith? I'm going to use the word touch as our outline this morning, and I really went back and forth on whether the outline would follow touch or it would follow faith, but we're going with touch. And I think it fits well, because I think we begin to live with this touch of faith when we begin to live with a thought of faith. When we find that, and it's true in most of our life, our actions flow based on what we think about. I think about the sign that's down here now, and for how long different people have looked at the old sign and thought, we need to do something about that. And so there's a place where our thoughts have to cross into action, but the action never begins until we think about it. And the same is true with our faith. For this synagogue ruler, for Jairus to come to Jesus, there was a thought in his mind that Jesus can do something to help. We see that specifically in the case of the woman in verses 27 and 28 that we read. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. I think sometimes we live life, we're afraid to approach Jesus because we've not thought in our mind that he can do anything about our problem. And this touch of faith begins with this thought that God can help, that God wants to help. And maybe we've lived life, we've experienced, we've gone to God and we've asked for help, but the response has not been what we wanted. And so many times, at least in my life, the help that God brings, the help that he delivers, is what I need, but often not what I've asked for. And so we begin this touch of faith with a thought that says, God cares enough about me to help. And I find it fascinating in this passage that these two stories intertwine, and you have the religious leader, the one that people would automatically think God will help him. He's connected with God. He's a synagogue ruler. He's in the right place, the right time. He has the right beliefs. And you have this unnamed woman that could have gone unnoticed completely if it had not been for Jesus stopping everybody and saying, "Who touched me?" And so we live with this touch of faith when we begin this thought of faith that says God's ability and desire is to be involved in my life and to help me. We live with this touch of faith when we live with an observation of faith. Verses 31 and 32, that's that interchange where the disciples asked Jesus, how can you ask who touched me? Because you're surrounded by people. They're pressed up against you. A lot of people have touched you. It seems like a strange question in the middle of a crowd. But it says Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. There was this observation of faith. He wanted to not only realize and recognize what had happened, but he wanted it to become visible. You see, we live with that thought of faith, but at some point it needs to become visible. We need to put it into action. James says that faith without works is dead. That our thought ought to produce an action that shows the faith that we have. For this woman, it was this thought that if I just touch his clothes, I can be healed. And the observation in her life was a healing that surprised, I think, everyone around her. And sometimes we need to stop and look around. What has your faith produced? Not only in your life, but in the lives of others. You see, this observation of faith says, I stop, I step back, I look at the bigger picture. I can get tunnel vision very easily. I can get so caught up in my life and what's going on that I lose sight of what God is doing all around me. And this observation of faith says, I step back and I see God at work. As we began the service with, the heavens itself declares the glory of God. I see God at work in creation. I see God at work in the people around me. I see God at work in my family. I see God at work in my church. And this observation of faith steps back and I see Him working because I believe in what He's doing. And so this touch of faith involves a thought of faith. It involves an observation of faith. It also involves an understanding of faith. Verses 33 and 34. When Jesus continues to look for who had touched him, it says, the woman, knowing what had happened, came and fell at his feet and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. It's always fascinating when people encounter Jesus, when the miraculous occurs, that He points to faith. It's their belief. It's their trust. And sometimes we get so caught up in our world of wanting something that we can tangibly hold on to that we begin to point to that rather than to Jesus. There are times where people will look at an object. I think in today's culture, if this would happen, we would want to preserve that garment, that somehow that garment has miraculous powers, and if people could just come and touch that garment, then great things would happen. And yet, Jesus makes it clear it wasn't the garment, it was the faith. And that's where when the Scripture says that Jesus felt power went out from Him. And so this understanding of faith says that it's all about trusting God. And I think the most difficult thing of faith in our life is trusting God when we don't understand. You see, this understanding of faith isn't an understanding of the details. It isn't an understanding of the circumstances. It isn't necessarily even an understanding of what's going on right now. It's an understanding of the one that we've put our faith in. And this understanding of faith says that God loves me. The Scripture that says that His plans are not to harm me or to do bad, but to do good and that I would prosper. And when we understand that element of faith, even the difficult things of life that we go through change because they change us. I have people constantly maybe not constantly, but on a very regular basis, questioned my wife and I about raising a 32-year-old daughter that lives as a 6 or 8-year-old. And how can you trust God? How can you believe in God? Why doesn't God do something to make that better? And for those of you that know Susan, I'm not sure how much better you could make it. But we get in our mind what things ought to be like because we've defined normal. And when we pursue this touch of faith, we look at this understanding of faith that God's picture is so much different than mine. The scripture says his thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. His ways are so much purer than my ways. And this understanding of faith says that even when I don't understand, even when it makes no sense, I believe God knows what he's doing. And so this touch of faith begins and it continues through a thought of faith, through an observation of faith, through an understanding of faith. But often within this touch of faith is the challenge of faith. I suspect that any of us that have spent much time in relationship with Jesus Christ have had those moments, those hours, those days, those months, perhaps even those years of challenge where our faith is put to the test and we have to decide and we have to work through, do we still believe? Verses 35 and 36, I believe, is one of the greatest challenges in this story. This synagogue ruler, Jairus, who had come to Jesus, believing that he could do something, shows up and invites Jesus. Jesus agrees to go with him. And on their way, they're interrupted by this encounter with a woman who Jesus heals. And in the midst of that conversation, word comes back that it's no use. Verse 35, it says, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? You talk about a challenge of faith. Does everything that you've wanted, everything that you've asked for, it's done. It's not going to happen. We've reached the end. And the response of Jesus says, don't be afraid, just believe. To me, it sounds very similar to the response that Jesus gave to Mary and Martha as they stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, concerned of why Jesus didn't arrive sooner. That he could have done something if he had only been there earlier. And Jesus has this conversation with them about the resurrection of the dead and the response, well, yeah, I know that eventually that all happens. But Jesus tells them then, he says, in essence, don't be afraid, just believe. And sometimes these challenges of our faith say that I see no way through what is right in front of me. The pain, the difficulty, the hardship is too great. There's no way to resolve this. There's no way to get through it, to get over it, to get around it. And when these messengers come to Jairus and say, it's time to stop bothering the teacher because it's too late, I think we encounter those situations in our life. We go to God and we pray and we ask and we plead for things to happen the way that we want them to happen, and then they don't. And our faith is challenged. It's put to the test. And the question is, do we continue to believe that there's something brighter, something better beyond this challenge? I remember sitting in the hospital room with our daughter in the University of Chicago and the doctor coming in and calling us into a consultation saying there's nothing we can do. She's just too weak, too far gone. And for the miraculous nature of God, He put a doctor in our path that did not stop there. Because he went on and says, but we can pray. And so many times we went to bed that night and we were exhausted, we were worn out, and our faith was very small. And there are times that I've sat with people that God has brought them through that like He did my daughter. And after a month in the children's hospital, she came home. The reason they couldn't do anything is her kidneys and liver had both shut down, and she was too weak to do any dialysis or anything that would help. But after a month, she came home with fully functioning kidney and liver. But I've also sat with those that have had the doctor say the exact same thing. There's nothing more we can do, but we can pray. And the person did not come out of the hospital alive. And so what do you do? We experience those challenges of faith, and we stop and we say, how can God do anything good out of this? And we are left with the choice of trusting or not. And it's when it's difficult that our faith is put to the test. And we have to decide, does God still care about me? And so many times we live life and we need this touch of faith, because life is messy. And when we live with this touch of faith, we begin to recognize that I can take another day because God is with me. So as we live with this touch of faith, we live with the thought of faith, the observation of faith, the understanding of faith, the challenge of faith, but it all leads us to what ought to be our hope of faith. The end of Mark chapter 5, Jesus comes in and He raises the daughter of Jairus. And it says that this, they were completely astonished. I find that interesting in some regard, because if you followed the context there, by this time the only people in the room are the girl, her parents, Jesus, and James, John, and Peter. Jesus had put everybody else out. It was this small group. Jesus does what Jairus had come to Him asking that He would do. And when He does it, they're all astonished. They're surprised. Their faith had been strong enough to ask Jesus, but they really hadn't expected the outcome. And one of the incredible things about living with a touch of faith is that we don't have to worry about our expectations being met, because God has greater expectations than what we even do. As these people come to Jesus, as they experience His working in their life, they understand that He cares. You see, the hope of our faith says that this life isn't all there is. Paul writes, he says, if this life is all that we have, then those of us who believe in Christ, that have put our faith and trust in Him, are to be more pitied than anyone. But our hope, our faith that we put in Jesus says that what He's doing in our life is of eternal perspective. What He's preparing us for is a life that doesn't end. What he's equipping us to do is to represent that hope to others. And so many times when I live life and I have those individuals ask my wife or I about our daughter, it reminds me so much of Peter's comment that he says that to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Because I can step back and I can say that, yes, it's not easy. But I know God has something better. And I can see how God is using her life, even with the struggles and difficulties that she lives with, even with the struggles and difficulties that it causes for my wife and I. I see what God does through her. And it's that hope of our faith that we ought to be able to present to others in the midst of our struggles. You see, if we have it easy, then people say, at least I've heard it say, you don't understand. You've not experienced what I've experienced. You don't know. All that talk is just talk. But when you can identify with the pain and suffering and the hurt of others, I believe it gives you an inroads to sharing about the hope that you do have. How can I live with hope when this happened? Well, because of Jesus. How can you live with hope when that happened? Because of Jesus. You see, when we live with this touch of faith, God calls us to represent Jesus. That verse in Peter that I referred to about giving an answer for the hope that lies within us doesn't stop with that, because it says to do so with gentleness and respect. There's a way and a means and a method of sharing the hope that we have to make it more attractive. This morning, as you consider the faith that you have, small, large, strong or weak, that's not nearly as important as who your faith is in. I still remember, and it's kind of engraved in my mind, this doctor, because he said, I volunteer at the county hospital. He says, down there, we know we need God's involvement in our work. He said, up here at the university hospital, for the most part, they put their faith in education and instrumentation and equipment and all of the technology that we have. And he says, it's good stuff, but he says, it doesn't compare to what we put our hope in down at the county hospital. And I wonder, as Christians, how much we tend to slide to that side that puts our faith, our hope in technology and wisdom and knowledge and education and the things of this world above. Now, again, those things aren't bad until we put our faith in those above putting our faith and hope in Jesus. The best is when we work them together with our touch of faith being at the top. And the rest of it, as the scripture talks about taking every thought captive, it talks about becoming obedient to Jesus. Today, as you consider your faith, I ask, how will you live with a touch of faith? Will your life be different because you're growing in faith? Will the people around you know that you live with a hope even in the midst of difficulty in such a way that they ask, I always find that fascinating about that passage in Peter, to always be ready to give an answer because it assumes that somebody's asking. And the question is, will your touch of faith lead them to ask the question? Would you stand and pray? Father, I do thank you that you are a God that loves us, that even the faith that we have is a seed that you've put within our life that you help to grow. God, today I pray that we would examine the faith that we live by. May we understand more fully how you would want us to live. Father, I think specifically today of the challenges that we have to our faith and the times that our faith is put to the test and we struggle with where our next step will land. We struggle with what's next. And God, today I pray that we would experience this touch of faith, not because we're so good, but because the object of our faith is so pure and holy, and that's you. So, Father, help us to live with thoughts of faith, to live with an observation of how faith has brought us to where we're at to this point, to grow in our understanding of how our faith produces the good things according to your will, according to your timetable, according to your big picture view. Help us to overcome those challenges to our faith. Help us to be the encouragers that help others to overcome. And Father, may we live with that hope in such a way that others do ask. And may our faith produce a growing hope every day that we live. And Father, it's my prayer today that our life would represent Jesus well. That everything that we do, everything that we say would lift Him up so that many could be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray.